Mr. Linden's library. He had warned her about the book. Now it was too late. Mr. Linden's Library by Walter Dean Myers. You wouldn't see anything special about Josiah Linden's house if you passed it on the road, which ran from town up to the small bluff that overlooked Allen's Bay. A scrawny oak tree, gnarled and twisted from years of catching the wind off the bay, sat in front, spoiling what symmetry the old house ever had. The backside of the house looked fairly formidable, especially the rounded corner that seemed for all the world like the turret of a small castle. There were some nights, however, when the moon was full or nearly so, that the corner of the house would glow white against the darkness of the trees and shrubbery behind it, and take on an eerie glow. Carol Jenkins didn't know much about Mr. Linden, except that he was one of the few black people in that area of Nova Scotia. The story about him, mostly gathered from the lips of people curious about the old man, or from American Revolutionary War buffs who knew that his ancestors could have been among the ex-slaves who had sided with British, was that Mr. Linden had been a merchant seaman most of his life. He wasn't a big man, and when he walked, he shifted his weight more from side to side than straight forward. He was lively, though, and always had a smile for whoever was passing, and a slight wave of the hand. The first time Carol remembered having seen Mr. Linden was in the hardware store, talking to a group of young men about weather conditions in the Arctic. "The cold can catch you when you're not even thinking about it. It caught me about 30 years ago, and I lost a bit of my finger to frostbite," he had said, holding up his hand so that the small crowd could see where the tip of the second finger of his left hand had been amputated. "You must have been all over the world," one of the onlookers had remarked. "The lure of seeing new places, different ways of life, has been almost irresistible," Mr. Linden had replied. "Now I collect stories about those places. Pictures and books about the places I've been and places I'd still like to go someday. I have more than 2,000 books in my collection." Carol mentioned this story to her friend Peter, who dismissed the idea at once. "John Altman was up to his place doing some repairs on the window frames, and he said it looked like the old guy read the same page of the same book every day. I bet he doesn't even know how to read." Carol didn't believe Peter, but decided not to make a big deal of it. And the matter would have gone completely from her mind if she and her mother hadn't run into Mr. Linden the following April. It was one of those days that the wind, swirling relentlessly from the north, found every opening a poorly buttoned coat offered up, and rattled the windows of Brendel's general store ominously against their frames. Mr. Linden was waiting while the clerk measured out a pound of coffee beans.
"Just the thought of a good hot cup of coffee makes me feel warmer," he said in the direction of Carol and her mother.
"Mr. Linden, do you think I could borrow one of your books one day?" Carol's request surprised even her. Mr. Linden looked toward Carol's mother, his brows arched questioningly.
"Oh, that would be too much of a bother to you, sir," her mother said quickly.
"Books are meant to be read," Mr. Linden said. "If you bring the young lady around, she can have her pick. I'm sure she'll be careful with them."
The Glace Bay Library was small and didn't carry many of the adventure books that Carol liked. After she promised her mother that she did really want to expand her reading and would absolutely take care of the books, Carol and her mother made the short trek up the hill to Mr. Linden's house on a Wednesday afternoon. The interior of Mr. Linden's home was bright with sunlight that streamed through the starched pattern curtains. In the library itself, there were dark green bookcases along the wall, and a small writing desk was in the middle of the rectangular room. The surface of the writing desk was covered with dark leather, and in one corner, there was a wooden box that contained a sextant. The window seat that looked out over the bay was just wide enough to sit in, and if you were a 12-year-old girl with a small frame, put your feet up as you read.
You must really love books,
Carol said when she saw just how many books the old sailor had.
Books have always been among my most trusted of friends, Mr. Linden replied. The best of them allow the mind to wander wherever the author's musings lead. I'm reading the book that's lying there, but the rest are yours to borrow.
One book will do, Carol's mom said. Mr. Linden said that he would make tea and started down the stairs, and her mom went with him. Carol began to read the titles on the spines of the books. Many seemed interesting. She looked again at the window seat where the book Mr. Linden was reading was lying. Like the others, it was old, its marbled binding fitting perfectly with the dark colors of the room. She picked up the book and read its title, Tales from a Dark Sea. There was no author listed. She opened the book where Mr. Linden had placed the flat bookmark. It was page 201 and contained one short paragraph, which, out of curiosity about Mr. Linden, she read.
When Esteban grew tired, when his weak leg was harder and harder to kick in the choppy waters, the dolphin would swim ahead of him slightly to his left and almost draw him along. He realized how far he was from the shore and how far away the small island in the mouth of the bay still seemed. And yet Esteban had never managed to swim so far before, and the accomplishment filled him with pride and made him try even harder. He wondered if the dolphin knew how proud he was.
A sentimental story, she thought, one that an older person would find enjoyable.
The thought came to her that Mr. Linden must indeed be lonely, and that's why he spent his evenings reading. She placed the book carefully down where it had lain before and quickly picked another from the shelf to borrow. When she brought it downstairs, Mr. Linden took it in his hands carefully, almost lovingly, and read the title.
Dahomey and the Dahomeans? He asked, turning the book over in his hands. A surprising choice. But that is the pleasure of reading, isn't it? Books have the ability to take the mind to strange places and in strange ways. Well, enjoy it, young lady.
That evening, over dinner, Carol mentioned that she had expected Mr. Linden's library to be stranger.
You mean with little ivory carvings of mermaids? Her mom asked, smiling.
I don't know. Just the way he goes on about books. He kind of glows when he talks about them. And did you see the way he handled the book I borrowed?
Book lovers love books, her mother announced. There's a romance about the books. Even having them seems to have a kind of excitement.
The book on Dahomey, especially the story about the little African girl brought to England, had been quite interesting, and Carol was eager not only to find another interesting story, but also to see what other kinds of books Mr. Linden liked. It took 4 calls to Mr. Linden before they found him in.
He seemed pleased that you liked the book, Carol's mother said. He asked if we would prefer tea or coffee. I insisted that we didn't need either, of course.
Oh, I wouldn't mind discussing books over a cup of tea, Carol said. It fits my image.
Today's image, her mother teased. Tomorrow we'll go see Mr. Linden. You'll make a selection and we'll be out of his hair. Agreed?
Carol agreed.
During the night, she wondered if Mr. Linden missed going to sea. And by the time she and her mother started off for his place, she was convinced that he did miss the adventures of his youth.
The rain had pushed the tide up the shore somewhat, and had left a residue of tiny crab-like creatures and kelp along its edges, as well as the familiar scent of the sea, which Carol had always liked.
As they approached the house, her mother nudged her, telling her to look toward the library window. There was Mr. Linden, his dark frame nearly doubled, sitting in the window seat, completely absorbed in his reading.
"The Dahomians seem a bit strange," Carol told him after he invited them in, "but colorful."
"It was the author's opinion of them," Mr. Linden said. "I've met a lot of them in my travels, and they're not very strange these days."
Mr. Linden gestured toward the stairs that led to his library and went to the fireplace, where he began to straighten the logs with a poker. Carol went up the stairs, past the ancient yellowed wallpaper and the corner table, where a pipe smoldered in an onyx ashtray. She opened several books to see if they contained pictures and found one, a narrative of the cruise of the yacht Maria among the Faroe Islands. The book looked interesting, although at first glance she could see that there were a number of words she would have to look up. She was about to start downstairs when she noted the same book from her previous visit on the seat in the window where Mr. Linden had left it. Carol picked up the book and opened it to the bookmark. It was still on page 201, but the text now ended farther down the page than she had remembered.
For a while, Esteban's mind had wandered as the dolphin circled about him, sometimes lifting its sleek body from the water so that it was merely a dark silhouette against the distant sky. The rhythm of the sea, of the waves brushing across his body, had lulled him into a pattern that made time seem to slow to the easy pace of the tide. When Esteban stopped and lifted his head, he saw for the first time that there were trees growing on the island. But when he turned back toward the shore, a sense of panic filled his chest, and his heart began to beat quickly. Could he make it back? The dolphin swam around him, the late afternoon sun sparkling on the water dripping from its body. Its mouth wide open, it appeared to be smiling. Esteban was worried, and his leg began to ache again as he turned for the shore.
Startled, Carol turned over the book and studied it from as many angles as she could. It looked the same as the book she had handled before, but the ending of the story had changed. Taking a deep breath, she calmed down. There had to be a logical explanation. It was as if she had remembered a previous day, but had mixed that day with another.
"I'm glad to discover another reader," Mr. Linden said downstairs in the kitchen.
He cradled a cup of tea in his hands.
"We are a dying breed, I'm afraid."
That night, Carol's sleep was disturbed by troubled dreams. Carol dreamt of sitting in Mr. Linden's library, questioning him about his life and all the books in his library. Then she awoke and lay in the darkness of her room, thinking of the book on the window seat and how she must have allowed her imagination or some random thought change the way she remembered the page. All things made sense. There were no mysteries in the real world. She thought of mentioning the book to her mother, but decided against it. It was her mystery, and she rather enjoyed the curiousness of it all.
The next time they were supposed to visit Mr. Linden, Carol's mother wasn't feeling well. She had one of the headaches that plagued her when the weather grew heavier, just before the late fall and temperatures plummeted the town into its annual winter doldrums. Now that her mother knew more about Mr. Linden, she was fine to let Carol go by herself.
She made her first trip alone to Mr. Linden's house, turning aside from the wind that rippled the bay. Carol thought about asking him directly about the book. Perhaps she would start by talking about the last book she had borrowed. But not at first, of course. First, she had to get her hands on his book and check it out. She hoped he would allow her to go into the library alone, and he did. She held her breath and walked more softly, almost sneaking up on the books that awaited her. She glanced at the window seat. The book was still there, angled so that the sun cast a shadow diagonally across the title. She turned away from it, allowing her glance to capture it now and again as she read the titles of the shelved books. She found a book with small drawings of ships and islands. The Traveler's Guide to Madeira and the West Indies, and leafed casually through it, all the time listening for sounds from below. When she heard the clinking of the metal tea kettle against the stove, she moved quickly to Mr. Linden's book. Esteban told himself that he had been swimming long enough. He had already gone much farther than anyone he knew, even farther than men with strong legs. No one swam all the way to the island. Now he was nearer than he had ever been, but it no longer seemed important to him. It was as if he were swimming not for himself, but for the dolphin that went before him most of the time, but sometimes behind him, nudging him forward. He began breathing hard, showing the dolphin how tired he was, how afraid he was to keep going when he wasn't at all sure of himself. He was not that strong, and had already done more than he had ever done in his life. He stopped and treaded water for a while, with the dolphin only a few feet away. Esteban felt that he and the dolphin were on a mission together, that they were proving something. But what were they proving? And where would it lead? Again, Carol checked the number on the page, even looking at the numbers of the pages before and after the one she was reading. She was right. The story had changed. It was changing from day to day. The boy in the story was swimming out farther each time, and the dolphin swam with him, as if it knew something special about the boy's mission. How could the story be different each time she read it? She grabbed the book she would borrow, holding it with both hands, and carried it down to Mr. Linden.
Ah, George Miller's travel adventure from the Age of Sail.
Mr. Linden examined the book over the rimless glasses he wore.
Excellent choice.
What are you reading? Carol asked. Something about dolphins, I think.
The old black man looked quickly away. For a long moment, the room was engulfed in silence. In the distance, barely audible, the gentle lapping of the low tide on the graveled shore came rhythmically.
It's not a very good book.
His voice was lower than it had been.
You wouldn't be interested.
I am, she said resolutely. I am interested.
Yes, I hear it in your voice, child. I hear it clearly, but let me tell you, warn you even, that there are books like frigates that carry the mind gloriously across oceans of ideas, he said. And then there are books. A few books, I would say, that capture more of the mind than one would want to surrender. Books that are better off never read, never opened.
That doesn't make sense, Carol said.
Sense? No, I suppose it doesn't,
Mr. Linden said.
But it doesn't make sense to reach my age and discover that everything doesn't make sense either.
You can keep that book you're holding, he went on. It's a fun book. He made drawings of the ships he encountered and the places he visited. Words and pictures. You can't ask for more than that, can you?
Carol felt as if she were being dismissed and was angry with herself for not being more careful with Mr. Linden. She thought of not taking the book she held, but finally managed a smile, put on her jacket, and started home. Josiah Linden died on a bitterly cold winter's day. His funeral was held at the Baptist Church on York Street, and more people came than anyone imagined could have possibly known him. Many were sailors, and others were just townspeople who remembered him from the time when the town was busier. The house was sold, and the proceeds, according to the old man's will, went to a charity for aged seamen. A dealer from Westport made an offer for the books. Carol told the dealer that she had been a friend of Josiah Linden's.
I would love to buy one of his books as a keepsake, she said.
Well, you're welcome to take any one book you'd like, he replied. I always like to encourage young people to read.
She searched for the book, checking every title and even behind the rows of books that still stood, waiting as if they expected Mr. Linden to return and reach a dark hand to take one of them down from the shelves. When she didn't find the book, she was very disappointed, and for a brief moment, thought of taking another book just as a keepsake, as she had suggested. But then she thought about the book and her fascination with it. She had heard that he had died in bed, and she went into the small room in which he had slept. She looked around quickly and spotted a corner of the book sticking out from under the pillow.
It's about dolphins, she said to the man that now owned Mr. Linden's library.
The man glanced at the book and nodded approvingly. You should try National Geographic, he said. I think I remember a series on dolphins.
Carol smiled. At home, she put the book under her own pillow and waited until that night before turning to the page 201, the bookmark still in place.
The late evening sun, spreading across the bay and behind the island, lay before him. Esteban had already turned and saw that the shore he had left, his shoes and the sandwich he had brought to the water's edge, were too far away for him to reach. The dolphin sensed it as well, and the two of them swam. Esteban with some difficulty as his arms tired, the dolphin with ease through the dark waters toward whatever was on the island. Esteban had heard stories about treasures being buried there, about exotic birds, wild flowers, and even the graves of hermits who had lived there. He didn't know for sure, but he did know that he would reach the island after so many times trying, and even if no one believed him, he would know that the dolphin would have seen him and that maybe, just maybe, all the dolphins in the ocean would know as well. In the morning, if all went well, he would try to return to the shore from which he started. In the waning light, he could still see the shadow of the dolphin as it swam ahead. Would it be there in the morning to help him back?
Carol put the book down and closed her eyes. Then she opened them again and began to read slowly. The story went on about how the boy awoke in the morning, cold and alone and hungry, and how he had seen not one but two dolphins in the bay, but neither was very close to where he stood on the island's edge. Carol wanted Esteban to be safe and to make it back to the shore. She wanted the dolphins to help him, but she wasn't at all sure they would. Mysteries were about finding out how they ended. Not new and more difficult mysteries that kept going on and on. She looked at the book and then threw it down on her bed, telling herself that she would never pick it up again. Now she knew why Mr. Linden read the same book every day. He had warned her about the book, but now it was too late. She lay quietly in the darkness of her room. Now and again, her hand would reach out from under the covers toward the light by the side of her bed. "Don't open the book again," she pleaded with herself. "Please?" From the far side of the bay, the town had grown dark. Occasionally, a truck made its way along the winding road, or the reflection from the lighthouse through the fog could be seen. Other than that, all was dark. The occasional flicker of a small bedroom light, hardly noticeable.